top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on Q, the big station.
This is the Midday News for Friday, July 13. I am Kimberly Benjamin. In the headlines, opposition leader Lennox Linton thanks the private sector for hosting a major discussion on legalization of marijuana. The United States William J. Perry Center brought Caribbean countries together to help bolster their disaster preparedness. And jury in St. Louis awarded $4.69 billion to 22 women who sued Johnson & Johnson, alleging their talcum powder caused ovarian cancer. The news is brought to you complimentary. Courts Dominica Limited and a Fast Cash.
Smarty is the new cool this back to school with your smartphone from Quartz. Get into Quartz now and have your smart pick from our wide range and pay absolutely nothing down and nothing for 30 days. Plus, you can even trade in your old handset for up to 20% off a new smartphone. Smarty is definitely the new cool this back to school. So get up early only with Quartz.
It's World Cup! we mean fast cash season! And their starting lineup looks solid with back-to-school loans, travel, entertainment and hurricane home refurbishment loans, plus quick and easy approval for civil servants. All our loans are instantly insured, so the competition better bring it, because fast cash is definitely bringing their A-game. Secure your VIP pass with fast cash this season. Skip the line and apply online or in-store. Smarter, faster, better. Fast cash!
Buyo Music Group WCK has been recognized for being one of the first to make headway in the music genre for well over three decades. The original members of the WCK band received the award on the International Soca Legend stage at the 15th International Soca Awards hosted in St. Lucia. Keith Goddard is a band leader.
The journey started 41 years ago from 1987 and still continues. I know we are represented here and we got invited by the Soca Awards, but we created our own genre and it's called Buyo Music. Okay? And what it is a mixture of even the Soca itself, the jimping, the quadrille, and basically our local stuff at home, right? We fuse together to call Buyo Music. Okay? And I must say big up to St. Lucia, because St. Lucia really gave us the foundation to where we are today. And I have to recognize a few people. Right now, I'm not sure where he is right now, but Sean I used to listen to him a lot in Dominica, where basically we used to basically monitor RCI to find out when they are playing Culture Shock, or Vola Vole, or Balance Party. And because where we are today, these people they basically set the foundation for WCK and Buyo Music, hence Soca Music as well.
The private sector in Dominica has listed recommendations and potential challenges related to legalizing marijuana for commercial production. Speaking at the DAIC's Eggs and Issues Breakfast at the Prevost Cinemall on Thursday, one member of that grouping wants manufacturers in the private sector to consider quality packaging and marketing of a cannabis product that could be unique to Dominica. He believes such a product or products will ensure Dominica receives an adequate share in the billion-dollar global cannabis industry.
Issue of foreign private sector investment in manufacturing, etc. Manufacturing in Dominica is very difficult because the cost of inputs are so high, all the raw material that has to be imported. Power consumption is another issue. So those who are still in it and only DCP can do it through heavily subsidized facilities. Bello is not there anymore, unfortunately, but I know from Bello's example, most of their raw materials are not from Dominica. They came to import it. In the case of marijuana, the raw material is here, so that you have the import cost to worry about. I believe the way forward for all products or marijuana product is a high degree of specialization, products that can clearly be identified as being from Dominica. And I'll use the cocoa industries in St. Vincent and in Grenada, where they produce high-end chocolates. that are extremely expensive but easily identifiable as being from these islands and are very good. All hands is not going to be high volume export products, but easily identifiable bespoke products from the little island, the Nature Island, the true Nature Island of Dominica.
Dominica's opposition leader Lennox Linton has expressed thanks to the DAIC for its initiative in holding a major discussion on the legalization of marijuana. Linton shared information with a private sector conference panel and attendees on the level of discussion already undertaken by CARICOM heads over the past 5 years.
I'll thank the DAIC for its leadership role in bringing a conversation like this to the nation. The marijuana discussion is not new. Heads of government of CARICOM have been discussing it for a number of years, and it has been on the agenda of every single CARICOM heads of government meeting for the last 5 years. I want to thank the presenters from Oracle. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Dr. Pascal, I paid for my breakfast for $70. In case you have to pay for yours, I'll refund you. Yeah? But just to say that last week, there was a meeting of the heads of government of CARICOM. And the heads of government of CARICOM received a report from the CARICOM Marijuana Commission. And here's what the heads of government said. I want to read this to the record of this very important meeting. The heads of government of CARICOM said last week that they welcomed the report of the Regional Commission on Marijuana. They noted its findings, conclusions, and recommendations, in particular with respect to human rights and religious rights, the social and developmental impact of the use among adolescents, the economic benefits to be derived, and the issues related to the classification. They express deep appreciation to the Commission's chair, Professor Rosemary Bell-Antoine, and the other members of the Commission for their very comprehensive report. The commissioners representing a range of disciplines conducted region-wide consultations to inform the report. We're not aware that there were any of these consultations that took place in Dominica, a member of the CARICOM community.
According to Linton, heads of government of CARICOM have noted that the current classification of marijuana as an illicit drug presents a challenge in the conduct of research to fully understand benefits which can be derived from a studying species of the plant.
Heads of government recognize that the current classification of marijuana as an illicit drug presented a challenge in the conduct of research to fully understand and ascertain the medicinal benefits to be derived. They agreed that action should be taken at the national level by the relevant authorities to review marijuana's current status with a view to reclassification, taking into account all international obligations. They also expressed concern about the effect of marijuana use on young persons, given the conclusive evidence that existed. Heads of government recognized that member states would need to review the report in more detail to determine action at the national level in relation to law reform models as proposed by the Commission. Heads of government expressed appreciation to the Foundation to Promote Open Society, which provided resources for the work of the Commission. So the work is going on the level of the heads. And to Dr. Pascal's point, I hope it's not a question of if, but when. And the sooner the better.
ENT specialist and cannabis advocate Dr. Irvin Pascal believes the legalization and treating of cannabis in Dominica is a unique economic opportunity. He believes it holds potential to address many of the country's problems. Pascal says as a nature island, it is ironic that Dominica has branded this plant as illegal. He was speaking at the DAIC press conference on Thursday.
These things have been hosting since Maria, and I think at this point in time it's almost ironic that we're talking about cannabis legalization, which I think has the potential to address many of our problems in this quagmire. It's also a unique opportunity to rebrand Dominica. I find his songs quite hollow and insincere to say we are the Nature Isle and we have made a plant illegal. I think we should immediately rebrand ourselves and say we are the Nature Island of the world, and here all plants are illegal.
Pascal says, however, the treating of cannabis is a complex issue.
Because we have issues of human freedoms as it opposed to recreation and how you use your body medically, the pros and cons, benefits and the risks. We have a significant Rastafarian community in the Caribbean and Dominica that have the religious right to treat with a plant for their religious purposes. There's an economic issue. How do we distribute the wealth and the economy that comes from that? How do we protect from the old order of having to resist being taken over by big companies who might want to come in here, set up business, all those things. And the legal issues, which are not negligible, the legal issues may be the most challenging, especially in putting in regulations in place to protect the public, even if the plant is no longer illegal.
The DAIC's conference was held under the theme, A Look Ahead, Opportunities and Challenges of Legalizing Cannabis in Dominica. Construction works on the Roseau Cathedral have been paused. This as the church tries to develop a workable plan on the way forward. Chairman of the Renovations Committee of the Lady of Fair Haven, Val Cuffey, provided an update to the press.
We're still waiting on the determination of the engineers as to the procedure in moving forward. At this point in time, it's just a matter of getting quantity surveys done because everything is done by lots. So the next lot has to be completed. Maria came, so we pushed back. So it's been worked on, the bishop and the committee, the engineers. So I can assure you that we are still, every day that's passed, looking at the cost going up because of the cost of material, because of the cost of labor. But I think that we have faith that we will see this through, and we're hoping that, like the best vision is 2020, we should be okay.
Meanwhile, celebrations for the Feast of the Lady of Fair Haven will run from August 12 to 19. Catholics are expected to participate in the numerous activities leading up to the feast day. PRO of the Cathedral Parish, Nazarene Gordon, gave an outline of what can be expected.
The activities begin August the 12th with a grand fair, eats, drinks, entertainment, and we've engaged the support of our local artists since the church supports culture and many of the people who contribute to cultural development in our country are church members themselves. Therefore, they will join us to provide wholesome entertainment, and these will involve some of the top bands. We'll have informative sessions, educational sessions, and it's a family-like atmosphere for the entire family. It's summer, the kids are out, and I would want to think it's the event for the summer. It's also meant to enhance togetherness among the church community. There'll be a triduum from the Tuesday and a lecture and concert on the Friday.
Dean of the Roseau Cathedral, Father Nigel Karam, spoke on the reason for celebrating the feast.
Of who we are. The feast is about prayer, praise, but also celebration of who we are as God's people and the promotion of the kingdom of God in the end. This is the ultimate goal, the promotion of God's kingdom and God's reign. And to help, as Ms. Gordon says, to help to unify the parish, to help to celebrate God's saving deeds in our community. But we cannot do this unless we have resources, and we are inviting all our good people, and all people, in fact, who want to see things progress and develop, and for Dominica to become a more peaceful and prosperous and a more loving society, a more gentle society. This is what the church is about, so please come to support this work of the church.
Still on the local scene, the St. Martin Primary School recognized its 2018 graduation on Thursday with Dr. Portia Mead Thomas as the featured speaker. She called on the graduates to steer clear of negativity and remain focused, with the motto of the school and the advice of mentors catapulting them forward. The graduation was held under the theme, With Resilience and a Motivation to Succeed, We Arise.
Thoughts such as the homework is too much, or I'll never finish studying in time for an exam, or the assignment is too complex and you don't understand exactly what is required of you. Pace yourself. Be organized and disciplined. There are enough hours in the day to study, relax, eat, and bathe. But we must be organized and diligent and create timetables for our studies.
Meet Thomas has also advised the graduates to follow the footsteps of the wise and those who are going places.
We have good people in our lives who do want the best from us. Take time to listen to them. And we do know who these people are. They are our mothers, they are our fathers, they are our aunts, uncles, some of our grandparents, and few family friends. They are our teachers, our principals. Indeed, we are resilient. You are resilient. After the hurricane, when our schools were able to open their doors, our children, you all, returned to school, returned to your education, focused and determined to succeed.
Meantime, school principal Burnett Morrow said, although it was a testing year for the school, the graduating class has made them proud.
Our teaching, learning resources, as well as the building, was destroyed, and that of our students. So funding had to be sought to purchase new materials. Thank God for our donors and well-wishers of the school, and to you, our parents and guardians. The school is only 75% covered by insurance. And those of you who had to deal with insurance companies in the last few months, you know exactly what that means. However, Catholic organizations such as Food for the Poor came to our rescue, and much of the material used for building or rebuilding was supplied by them, as well as significant financing. The school building was also looted and destroyed by humans, causing much damage after the storm has passed. In the last 6 months, the school has been burglarized 4 times, and the damage is still evident at the school. We are also challenged by students' behavior and attitude towards work, but let us blame it on Maria. The results of the grade 6 national assessment proved that with hard work comes reward. Our top student this year was Ms. Kelanda David and Ms. T.D. Fabian. Thank you. Who came fourth and fifth respectively. 22 students received scholarships and 10 received bursaries.
Morrow urged the students to always plan ahead for the future and work at excelling in time management.
The effects of Hurricane Maria are still being felt, and the trauma will be with us for years to come. I have always challenged you to give your best. Have a plan, use your time wisely, and always put God first.
In other news this afternoon, on July 10 and 11, the United States William J. Perry Center for Hemispheric Defense Studies co-hosted a humanitarian assistance and disaster response seminar with U.S. Southern Command and the Caribbean Disaster and Emergency Management Agency, SIDEMA, in Barbados. The event brought together participants from 18 Caribbean and South American countries, as well as British, Canadian, Dutch, and French partners. The seminar provided an opportunity to consolidate lessons learned from the 2017 hurricane season and to prepare the Caribbean partner nations and U.S. humanitarian assistance forces for the 2018 hurricane season. Opening remarks were provided by Gail Francis Vaughn, Permanent Secretary at Ministry of Home Affairs, and Ronald Jackson, SIDEMA Executive Director. During the seminar panels and roundtable discussions, participants gained an understanding of partner nation procedures, capacities, and gaps in humanitarian assistance and disaster response efforts. And after 8 hours of deliberations Thursday, a St. Louis jury awarded $4.69 billion to 22 women who sued pharmaceutical giant Johnson & Johnson, alleging their ovarian cancer was caused by using its powder as part of their daily feminine hygiene routine. The jury award includes $550 million in compensatory damages and $4.14 billion in punitive damages. It's the largest verdict against a company that has sold baby powder and shower-to-shower brand talcum powder for decades. The jurors sat through weeks of testimony listening to experts who explains the complicated science of workers at Johnson & Johnson who said their product was safe. They also heard from the cancer survivors themselves and the loved ones of six plaintiffs who have died from cancer. And that's the midday news, but first a recap of the headlines. Opposition leader Lennox Linton thanks the private sector for hosting a major discussion on legalization of marijuana. The United States' William J. Perry Center brought Caribbean countries together to help bolster their disaster preparedness. And jury in St. Louis awarded $4.69 billion to 22 women who sued Johnson & Johnson, alleging their talcum powder caused ovarian cancer. The news is brought to you through the very kind compliments of Courts Dominica Limited and Fast Cash. We say a big thanks to our sponsor. I have been your presenter, Kimberly Benjamin.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only on Q95.